Now, if some new projections hold up, the state's going to have quite a bit of extra money on hand when the current budget cycle ends next year. The Legislative Fiscal Bureau had originally said we'd be looking at a roughly $0.9 billion surplus. Last week, it revised the estimate to $3.8 billion. So now, people are weighing in on what to do about it. Governor Evers said last week he wants to give every state resident some cash right now.
Under my plan, every Wisconsinite will be able to receive the full $150 for themselves and each of their dependents, meaning a family of four will receive $600 to help make ends meet. That means a little less stress and a little more wiggle room in a family budget and help those who really need it.
Evers also wants to commit $103 million for an income tax credit for caregivers, $139 million for higher education, and $610 million for public schools. Republicans say Evers' tax rebate amounts to an election year gimmick. They say they'd rather wait until the next budget and make some bigger changes to the state's overall tax code. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see done with the extra money? How do you feel about spending some of it on Wisconsin residents, caregivers, and education? Or is tax reform a better solution? Rainy day fund? Or is there some other need that should be addressed? Should it be spent now or later? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Jonah Ralston is an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater. He's coordinator of the university's public policy and administration program. His areas of interest include state politics. Jonah, welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure to be with you today, Rob.
That's a big swing in our end of two-year budget projection. How did this happen? Where is this extra money coming from?
So part of the reason, of course, has to do with the federal injection of money. Many states right now are actually in a pretty good financial position as a result of that infusion of federal money. It also has to do with the health of the economy being a bit better than what was expected. And so that leads to higher tax revenues.
And of course, this isn't a $3.8 billion sitting in the bank right now. This is the latest projection on what's waiting for us in, what, a year and a half or so?
So these are projections, and it just so happens that, as you had mentioned at the top of the hour, half hour here, that the projections came in a bit higher, but, you know, to the tune of a few billion dollars than what was expected.
Let's look at first what Governor Evers is proposing to do with the money. We just heard him there talking about $150 per person in Wisconsin and then some spending on things like education and relief for caregivers. First of all, that sending checks to people, Governor Walker had done something similar in the last election here in Wisconsin. What are your thoughts on that as a policy idea?
So it is. I feel like there are two potential narratives here to this. So the one narrative, of course, is that this is a cynical election ploy, and that's in fact what the Democrats said in 2018 when Walker provided the child tax credit, which you're referring to, you know, the $100 that was given. And the other narrative would be that, you know, this is something that other states are also experiencing in terms of a surplus. And in a number of those instances, this is also being seen as what a number of them are going to do, which is provide some tax relief, provide money back to their citizens. I don't think that Evers has been employing that second narrative as much. He's been relying more on the fact that, you know, external events like the pandemic and such are warranting this money going back. But I do think that there are two potential narratives here, and there's probably some validity to both.
Of course, Governor Evers, to make this happen, would have to get support from Republicans in the legislature. They say probably not. I want to give a listen to Republican State Senator Roger Roth, who's been working on a bill that would eliminate the state income tax, which fits into some Republican plans of what to do with this surplus. He told WLUK-TV in Green Bay it's hard to compete with other states that have gotten rid of their income taxes.
Wisconsin has a demographic problem, people leaving the state. We've got to do things to incentivize individuals, millennials, families to come and live, grow, expand their families and their businesses in Wisconsin.
So Senator Roth and other Republicans talk about, hey, let's use this as a way to change our tax structure. First of all, what do you think of this idea of Wisconsin getting rid of the state income tax?
Well, we wouldn't be the first state to do it. There are, you know, a few states that have no income tax. But I do think that there is a cautionary tale here. Kansas, not too many years ago, chose to try to get rid of their income tax with Governor Brownback. And by all accounts, it pretty much was kind of a disaster. It did not go very well. And they had to end up rolling back a lot of the changes that had been made. And in fact, it got litigated all the way up to their state Supreme Court in terms of the actual decline was so substantial in education that it was brought up to the state Supreme Court as to whether or not they were meeting their requirements under the state constitution to provide education for their citizens. So I think it needs to be done in a proper way. And we probably would have to think about how to offset that tax revenue. So, you know, we're talking about $18 billion. This is a $3+ billion surplus. That's not going to, you know, meet the need there for the extra $15 billion. So you've got to figure out a way to still provide funding. What many states have done that don't have an income tax is usually they have higher sales taxes. So you can look at some place like Tennessee. Our sales tax is between 5 and 5.5%, depending on the locality. In Tennessee, that usually ranges between like 8.5 and almost 10%.
And I know there are concerns about sales tax potentially being more regressive, having more of a burden for people with lower income. That's one argument I've heard against it anyway. Is there anything to that?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, in Tennessee, they tax food even at 5%. And so, yes, there are some concerns about taxing consumption and how that can be regressive. Right now, the income tax in Wisconsin, unlike our neighboring state, Illinois, right, where it's more of a flat tax, in Wisconsin, it is definitely a progressive tax. And, you know, the higher income that you're earning, the more you're going to be paying in income tax back to the state. So in that case, it's a progressive tax system. If you move to, you know, higher sales taxes, yes, it could take up a larger portion of somebody's budget who's lower income.
Talking to Jonah Ralston from UW-Whitewater, looking at a projected budget surplus here in Wisconsin, higher than previously expected, and what, if anything, to do with it. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Good afternoon. You know, 100 years ago, Martin Pattison donated land for Pattison State Park. We celebrated a centennial a couple of years ago. The pandemic hit. I've spoken with Governor Evers. I've spoken with Representative Milroy, Representative Steinecke. I've spoken with Senator Janet Buley. We had a storm in 2018 causing millions of dollars in damage to the park, and it still hasn't been repaired. And when I spoke with the park superintendent, he said he had a number of projects submitted to the DNR, and they pulled out the funding on it. And now that we have a budget surplus, there's no excuse for people in Madison to neglect this state park. We deserve better in our state. Tourism is an important resource we have. And I've invited everyone to come up here to Pattison State Park and see for themselves. And talk with the superintendent has since resigned, so we're going to have to pick a new superintendent. But it's been 4 years for these repairs to be done, and we don't have the money? Well, now we do, and we need to get it done. And I mean all of us in Wisconsin need to start caring about this park.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Jonah, Jeff making the case for a particular park, but the idea of using it for park cleanup, rebuilding, and more.
Yeah, in California, they're experiencing a budget surplus as well, and they directed a pretty substantial portion of the surplus to environmental causes and concerns. And so, there is evidence from other states that they've looked in that direction. You know, the cautionary tale here, of course, is that anything that Evers would propose or wants to do would have to be approved by the legislature. This is not the federal COVID-19 relief money, which Evers had discretion over. This is state money, and the legislator ultimately will have the final say.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. We'll go now to State Senator Bob Wirch, calling in from Kenosha. Senator Wirch, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. In the last budget, the Republicans gave the homeless a real bad hit in the budget, meaning that Governor Evers put $13 million in to help the homeless. Not a big fund, if you consider there are 72 counties in the state that all have homeless problems, by the time the Republican Joint Finance Committee got done with his budget, there was $1 million in to help the homeless. Now, by comparison, Minnesota spends $40 million to help the homeless. So I certainly like the $150 proposal by Governor Evers, but we should remember the homeless because the Republicans forgot about them in the last budget.
Senator Wirch, thanks for calling in. Joda, there we have it from a state legislator making the case to use some of the surplus for homeless relief.
Yeah, and I think a good point that was made is that, in fact, a number of Evers' proposals in this last budget had been stripped out and or reduced substantially. So if you look at what Evers had proposed in the last budget for education, for example, and what actually was funded, it was a fraction of what the governor had proposed. And so it certainly is the case that many of the governor's priorities, it has been difficult for him to get those passed, or at least to get funded at the amounts that he has wanted. And so I think that's going to remain a significant challenge in this last year of his term.
Thanks for that call. We're talking about the state's projected budget surplus and what should be done with the projected $2.9 billion. Jonah Ralston stays with us, associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater, coordinator there of the university's public policy and administration program. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see happen with that extra money? Put it away in the rainy day fund. Send out a check to every state resident. Tax credit for caregivers. Overhaul the tax system in the state. Or fill in the blank. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation. Maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're talking about new revenue projections for the state. The Legislative Fiscal Bureau says Wisconsin will have a $3.8 billion surplus at the end of this budget cycle that ends next summer. Much more than expected. Governor Evers wants to give every state resident a $150 check, some tax credits for caregivers, and money for schools. Republicans say it's a chance to enact major tax reform in the next budget. Jonah Ralston stays with us, associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater, coordinator of the university's public policy and administration program. Let's go back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Mark is with us in Bowler. Mark, hi.
Yes. The senator from Kenosha kind of took the steam out of my point of helping the homeless, because a lot of us really don't need the $150 to get by. So the homeless, I think, would be the best place to put it. And the parks, of course. That's all.
Mark, thanks for the call. And I've seen some debate, Jonah, from people who do support the idea of direct payments. Policy debate between send a check to everybody versus what Mark said, focus the money on people who need it the most, maybe homeless people, maybe lower income people. What are the merits of everybody gets something or some people get more?
Right. And particularly in a more recessionary period, you would see a stronger call for some kind of stimulus, right? So that would be a payment directly to people. We're not really in that kind of environment now, and the economy has rebounded to a good extent. So I think there is less of a case perhaps now than there may have been just a year or two ago for the need of a direct payment. It's not to say that it can't be beneficial or that people wouldn't use them, particularly during a period of inflation right now when things are rising in price. And so, it could be useful for people. But yeah, those targeted kind of uses of the money, there is some merit to that. There could be some benefit to investing the state's money, if you will think of it that way, like a good return on investment for putting it into high need areas of the state. Again, I just think it's going to be very difficult, and it's probably why, partly why anyway, the governor has chosen the route he has. He's picked some priority areas that he really wants to put some money in terms of how he'd want to spend the surplus. But I think he was trying to appeal to Republicans who, in the last budget, had a strong preference for giving money back to Wisconsinites through tax reform. And so maybe he was trying to put it in something that would appeal to them. Unfortunately, the relationship between the governor and legislature is so acrimonious It's difficult to see them finding any common ground. It's almost like they're making policy in spite of each other rather than because of one another at this point.
Thanks again for that call. We'll go next to Mike in Madison. Mike, hi.
Hi. I'd like to see the money used in the university system to encourage our kids to stay in the state. I don't mind that people are leaving the state just for the sake of leaving. They might be retiring. But if they're leaving for jobs, we've got to have good quality jobs here in the state. I'd like to see some sort of a plan to maybe provide seed money for, say, 100 companies rather than one flat panel display company in down by Racine. Sorry, lost my train there. That turned out to be flat as far as employment. And then if I could wave my wand, I'd like to see interstate connection around the north side of Madison, north of Lake Mendota, to complete the loop around Madison.
Mike, thanks.
Alleviate the congestion.
Thanks for the call. Jonah, Mike has a long policy list there. The idea of investing, you know, the state has an agency that is supposed to help do some of the things that Mike talked about. What do you think of that idea of taking some of this money and using it for seed money, he said, for business creation?
Yeah, I think there were a number of good ideas put forward there. And there are a lot of positive externalities to this kind of spending. You know, that we can all benefit through, for example, investments in education. We can all benefit from investments in infrastructure. And of course, innovative use of the money are also welcome, like what was discussed in terms of seed money, you know, almost like the state being a capital venture fund here. But it's a great idea, right? A way to spur economic development, and particularly considering how hard hit many businesses were during the pandemic. This would be a nice boon potentially for entrepreneurs who were struggling to get things off the ground during the pandemic.
Thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking about a projected state budget surplus. Jonah Ralston is with us from UW-Whitewater. You can join in with your ideas of what to do with the money, if any, at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Jimmy is with us in Valley Junction. Jimmy, hi.
Afternoon, gentlemen. I would say on a per capita basis, divvy the money up to the counties for road repair, because then everybody gets a chunk of it that doesn't go to one part of the state or the other. And I think if there's one thing that hopefully the governor and the Republicans and the legislature can agree on is roads are important statewide. So everybody wins, everybody gets a chunk of it. I say leave taxes alone, because you're just gonna have to pay, you know, down the road you're gonna have to raise them back up. So that's my two cents.
Jimmy, thanks for the call. Jonah, I've heard concerns from people at the local government level that they feel like the state hasn't been sharing enough revenue with them for the kind of things Jimmy was talking about. What do you think of that idea of a one-time use of this money to build those local roads back up?
Certainly there has been a need for greater infrastructure funding in the state. So I think that the caller had some good ideas there in terms of using this to provide some of those needs that local governments have in terms of their current state of their roads. It's ever since the gas tax is no longer being indexed to inflation, which that happened under a previous Democratic governor with a Republican legislature, kind of, again, the cautionary tale of tax reform here, right? It was a way seen as, you know, reducing tax burden on Wisconsinites. But at the same time, you know, a decade later, it created a pretty significant transportation funding shortfall, which has yet to be addressed fully. And so, yes, that could be one avenue to use this money would be for infrastructure. And of course, it would piggyback on some of the federal investment in infrastructure that's going to be occurring.
Thanks for the call, Jimmy. Carter joins us now in Cambridge. Carter, hi.
Hi. Well, thanks for the call. I'm enjoying listening to you gentlemen talk. I agree with what Evers wants to do with the money. And as far as what the senator said about Minnesota, there's a little comment I'd like to make about our sister state over there. It's 6 years ago, they proposed a fair tax law. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans were fighting it, saying businesses were going to leave. And after they passed it, got it through, the following year and the year after, the politicians were fighting over what to do with the leftover budget from the previous years.
Carter, thanks a lot for the call. Jonah, something like that, a change in tax laws, and I think it was aimed at bringing more revenue, especially for wealthier people in Minnesota, seems like a tall order with the Republican lawmakers here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that basically any of the tax increases or changes that Evers had proposed in the last budgetary cycle were shot down pretty quickly by the Republican legislature. They certainly are interested in, as they are calling it, you know, once in a generation tax reform. My guess is, though, they're not interested in that reform with Governor Evers. So what they're hoping is that there will be a change in the governorship and that they'll have a Republican governor that they can work with to, you know, put into place that reform.
Thanks for that call. And Jonah, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
That's Jonah Ralston, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater, coordinator there of the university's Public Policy and Administration Program. We talked to him today about Wisconsin's $2.9 billion projected budget surplus and what Governor Evers and state Republicans say they want to do with the money. Thanks for all of your calls. A lot of ideas out there. You can keep them coming. Email us, ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page to check out the latest reporting on these issues, or at WPR.org. You can always tweet us at Central Time WPR.